Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 51 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I talk to Dylan Taylor. If you're not familiar with that name, you will be in the very near future. He's doing catering and going to open up his own brick and mortar. But if you follow barbecue at all, he will be familiar to you. He's worked at Terry Black's Barbecue in Austin, La Barbecue in Austin, Truth in Brenham, and he did a short stint at Bodacious Barbecue in Longview, Texas. 2M Smokehouse is his current location in San Antonio. In the meantime, he's done a stage at Uchi in Austin. Incredibly interesting. We talk all about pits and the different pits that he's used and cooking styles and cooking theory, and there's a wealth of knowledge here. You get to know Dylan so much more and get to know the barbecue scene, and he's been there as this whole barbecue scene has grown, and he was there when the Texas Monthly list came out, so he was at Truth during that time. That's an interesting piece of this puzzle. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good morning, Dylan. How you doing?
Hey, Kevin. Good, man. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I am doing well. It's the beginning of the week, so who knows what. Who knows how I'm doing.
Yeah, it goes, man. But so far, so good.
So what's your week looking like?
So I start working on Thursday.
Okay.
So I got a few days off. So I'm going to try to finish up some work on the smoker. I got a little, like, 500-gallon road pit that I've been welding with John Lewis's dad. And it's done. It's on a trailer and it's tow ready, but I got to wire up the brakes still. And then I got to finish the wood cage and
get
done. So yeah, it's nearing completion, but it's sitting in the backyard right now. I was getting antsy and just wanted to cook on it. So
have you cooked that? You haven't cooked at it?
Oh yeah. I've cooked on it a ton. It's been sitting in the backyard for like 4 or 5 months. And I've just been like, all right, I'm going to go back next week to finish it. And then something comes up and I'm like, I got to cook on it and like do something. Cause I've been doing some like, you know, cooking for, I catered a friend's wedding like a few months ago, and then, doing like little pop-ups, cooking for friends, or just having a little backyard barbecue party in the backyard or whatever.
Oh, nice.
Have all the friends over and hang out.
Is your Thursday thing, is that your new job, is that something that people know about, or is it?
Yeah. I mean, some people know about it, some people don't. I'm actually working at 2M Smokehouse right now.
Oh, wow.
And then, I'm also actually getting a little catering business going around Austin, just to kind of get things going, you know, make my own steps towards like a business one day. So I'm getting a website going. I'm thinking about, you know, doing classes here and there if anybody would want to take one.
Okay.
Maybe doing, you know, and I've actually been, you know, talking to some buddies around town. You know, there's a lot of people in Austin. Like, there's a place called Sour Duck that's opening. It's like an odd duck, barley swine.
Oh, those guys?
Yeah. Bryce Gilmore.
Yeah, Bryce.
Yeah, the name was spacing.
Yeah, I lost it too, and I didn't want to say the wrong name.
So bad with names, man. So they're getting a smoker. It's going to be a really cool project. I'm actually going to help them out and, just kind of show them how to play with fire for a day.
Nice. So that you'll be within that world until who knows what, until hopefully you get your own trailer. Or do you want a trailer or you have
a trailer sounds really cool, but honestly kind of want like just to start out with like a really small brick and mortar, you know, and kind of build. Like, I really like how 2M Smokehouse started. You know, they have a decent sized brick and mortar, but SOL and Joe built that up, you know, with their two hands and did all the work themselves and just, you know, started off with a 1,000-gallon smoker in there.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about that. Yeah.
And that's like it's approachable, and it seems like a good way to like get in, you know, because if something goes wrong, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the future. But if something does go wrong, then, you know, it's like, all right, cool, I can walk away knowing that we're OK.
Yeah.
We don't owe anybody anything, like we did this ourselves, like. It's a safer way to start, you know.
Now that makes sense. A lot of people probably don't know that that's even an option for them, that they can do that, because I know that his place was a restaurant prior though, but I think he totally retooled it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they had like the what's it called? Like the structure was there, like the foundation was there, but he kind of just, you know, slowly built onto it as they went, and they did like repainted everything themselves. They did a lot of like woodwork themselves, built the counters and stuff. So. Yeah, I mean, I want to be able to do something like that maybe one day. I'm not as handy as that.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you handy enough?
Call on some friends. You know, it might be a little harder for us to do that, or for me to do that. But, yeah, man, cool. Start out something like that. But, I guess a lot of people don't really know you could do that. But in barbecue, I feel like it's the main thing you could do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the most acceptable to do it in that realm of cooking, because it's one of the most DIY, you know, ways to cook. and just to get everything done. Like, you can build your own smoker, and then that's like really all you need if you can make that work. Then
that's true, because you're not like it's not a commercial kitchen per se, unless you're doing it like some crazy science and stuff.
Exactly, but if you want to just do like a straight up barbecue ration, all you really need is a smoker and like a not horrible kitchen.
Yeah.
Like, no, you know what? You could have a horrible kitchen. You could still make it work, you know.
As long as it's food safe, but it could be janky and.
Yeah, man. As long as that smoker's good to go, then I think you'll be okay. So.
That's cool. So would you be interested in doing? And I'll put a link below if you give me a link to if people want to contact you for classes and for. Also for consulting stuff, would you be good looking for Austin, or would you looking for somewhere outside Austin?
For classes, want to do it in Austin. I think I love the city, and I think it'd be really fun to do it in Austin. But I just think there's a lot going on here, mm-hmm. and I think I like competition because it pushes you to be better and stuff. But I think that I don't know exactly what city I'd want to go to yet, but I know Austin probably wouldn't. Be the place I'd settle down for a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah, that's like, look what it did for 2M. Like, they're they opened up in a place that didn't have as many.
Yeah, exactly, as many. Maybe go to some like more uncharted territories.
Yeah, don't say it on this, so that way people don't know. Like,
Yeah, right, it's a secret. I haven't really thought about. I need to still go visit a bunch of cities and see want to do. So that's why catering, I definitely do caterings and stuff in Austin, just kind of get my feet wet with running a business and just kind of slowly build it from there, because I'm 23, I still got some time, but I want to get started sooner than later. So
what is your background? Did you grow up in Austin?
So I was born in Austin, but I moved to the DFW Metroplex when I was 3 or 4, so I don't really remember Austin back then. Okay. Back in what they call the good old days in Austin, before all this madness started coming. But yeah, I was born in Austin, moved to the DFW Metroplex when I was 3 or 4. I grew up in Arlington, Texas specifically.
Oh wow.
Went to high school there. Lived there until I graduated high school when I was 17 or 18. And then I moved back to Austin. Just really me and my friends have gone and hung out there, and just it's a really cool city. I went there to go to school and to play music, actually. We were in a band and wanted to keep rocking and rolling.
Do you still play?
Yeah, I haven't played in a long time just because work's been so crazy, but we're thinking about getting the band back together.
I love when people say get the band back together. It just sounds so cool.
Yeah, I know, right? Such a funny thing. So whenever I moved to Austin, though, I was there was so much good food that I wasn't used to having access to. Mm-hmm. In Arlington, everything is it's a franchise, a chain,
For sure.
A good night out is going to Payway or PF Chang's or some big commercial.
For sure.
Franchise, nice restaurant.
Which it kind of is in a lot of major cities across the United States.
Yeah. It really is. And it was the suburbs, I don't know. The people there were pretty cool, but it was just, I don't know. Austin was a lot better fit for me.
It's eye-opening when you go to Austin to see the wealth of food. It's amazing. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I was almost refreshed by that, and just so amazed and taken aback. I just really kind of fell into food unexpectedly whenever I moved to Austin, just because I didn't know how much I would enjoy food. And especially barbecue too. Barbecue for me growing up was Spring Creek, Coulter's, Dickie's, and then we got a Rudy's when I was a sophomore or junior in high school, and that was the new place to go.
That is the next step up if you think about it.
Yeah, man, it was. We were man, we got a good restaurant here now. We're good to go on barbecue. But I didn't really like barbecue as much when I was in Arlington, just because this wasn't that good, so I didn't really look at it as anything special. But then I moved to Austin, of course, and then I had Franklin, I had La Barbecue, went to all the old spots in Lockhart.
Yeah, it changes your life.
Yeah, man, I was blown away. And then I started eating it and then started reading up on it, and then I ended up dropping out of school to kind of pursue music more and just kind of work and just and I really didn't want to go to school, so I kind of dropped out. And then Terry Black's was opening on Barton Springs Road. Okay. And I didn't really still know as much about the barbecue families or anything. So I was that's the Blacks in Lockhart. Learn how to cook barbecue. And then got a job there and then started.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So I think I was 19.
Okay.
And then I really wanted to cook, and I was like, teach me how to cook. But I had what they called a front of house personality type. So they stuck me up front on the cutting block, and I was kind of upset about it at first, but looking back, I was really glad I started cutting before I started cooking because I got to know my way around a brisket.
That's important. Yeah. Jumping right into that that's a big deal. Like, you know, a lot of people don't know the proper way to cut a brisket or even to interact properly with people while you're cutting it.
Exactly. I think cutters are one of the most underrated things in barbecue. If not the most important, you know, cause like if you have a good brisket, you don't cut it right. It was all for nothing. Oh, but yeah. I mean, if you have a bunch of bad briskets, like a cutter is going to know how to not serve, like what parts you can and why you can't serve. You know, I could think of them as like the gatekeepers, you know?
That's interesting. Yeah, that's true.
Control like what goes in and out. And then, you know, like, you know, it's important to have a great cutter to make sure every customer gets an equally good experience.
For sure.
Just, you know, even like if you have a perfect brisket, there's still just parts of brisket that I just won't serve. And then is better off as chopped brisket.
Because
chopped brisket can still be really good if you mix some sauce in and like put it on a sandwich. Like I'll still eat that for lunch.
Yeah.
So I think cutters are really important. So I was really glad that I was started off cutting in, you know, looking back in hindsight. But
so how long did you do that?
I cut there for like 6 or 7 months, and then finally they're like, all right, cool. Like, I don't know, around summertime came around and they were like, all right, cool, you can start cooking now.
in the heat of the summer, yeah.
But it was great timing. I was stoked and I jumped back there and started cooking. Really got a good foundation there, you know, just learning how to, you know, build fires, work with fire, just, you know, how a brisket cooks.
Nice.
Same for pork ribs. I was doing like brisket shifts and I would do rib shifts too. And then also when I was there, I was like still like wanting to figure out more about just cooking in general. So I was working at Uchi in the kitchen as a prep cook in the morning.
Look at this is fascinating.
I was ready to work.
Damn, because Uchi is like that's upper tier. that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Well, yeah, I worked there as a stage, and like they were, I was super scared because I knew it was like a super nice like kitchen. Like the restaurant was great. I was super nervous. I was like 19. It was my first actual like kitchen job. And I just, you know, but they were, everybody there, like the staff, like the chefs, everybody like, oh man, they were the nicest people.
That's
they
great to hear.
To help me like learn and, you know, guide my hand and everything. So that was cool. But I would just go in there like a couple days a week. And, you know, I would work a rib shift from like 4 a.m. to noon. And then I would go in there and prep. And then if I could like stay for dinner and like help, you know, see what running dinner service is all about. So that was cool. Yeah. And so I went from there. So that was like the first kind of stage in my barbecue career. And then from there, I went to Franklin Bar, or not, sorry, not Franklin, La Barbecue. I applied there like 5 times. And then finally the Allie hit me back up with an email. I remember it was actually really funny. I went in for an interview and then Leanne was out of town on a photo shoot. So it was Allie and then Leanne was on Skype and then I was on the other side of the table.
Okay.
Doing an interview. And then I got the job there and I kind of started back from the bottom. Then, you know, cooking came later. So I started cutting.
Who was there? Was John there?
John had like was kind of in between Austin and Charleston at the time. So his SOO was there.
SOO.
Is
that the proper way to say his name? SOO?
Saul, yeah.
I always say Saul. That's so funny.
Yeah, Saul, it's Saul.
He never corrected me at all. What a nice guy.
He doesn't like it, but he doesn't tell anybody, but he doesn't like it. Yeah, he likes.
I'll have to send him an email and say I now know how to say your name properly.
Well, that's why he liked me at first because I was like, I'm gonna make sure I pronounce your name right because he didn't. Yeah, he's like, there's some like kid here that's just walking around. Like, what's he doing here? You know. I started cutting there and like doing dishes and just, you know. Okay. Doing random stuff, cleaning up, and then started cooking eventually. I'm just kind of slowly working my way in, like one day a week, you know, with SOO. And then SOO left. And then I was pretty much like my time to shine. And I was like, oh man, like, here's the moment you've been waiting for. You're here now. And then it was funny. It was like the timing worked out to where it was like the weekend before Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest.
Okay.
And John Lewis was actually coming in town to like do that. So that's when he was like, all right, cool. I got like 2 or 3 weeks to cook with him. And he was like training me.
That's
like,
so nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like, you know, SOO was also a great teacher. So he had taught me and then John came in and taught me some stuff as well. And they were both like really good at, you know, explaining like what, when, how, and why. So then I did that for about, I worked at La Barbecue for I think about 2 years.
Okay.
a little shy of 2 years, and then I went to go work with Leonard over at Truth.
What a world! That's an odd like it's like the greatest hits of like different styles, because Terry Black's is a different barbecue restaurant than La Barbecue, and then Truth is its own.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It was Truth was way different. Like, especially when I got there, man. Like, because we were cooking on that close pit. We didn't have that 1,000 gallon.
Oh wow.
In the works yet. So when I got there, we were cooking on a close, and that is like the most foreign like pit I've ever cooked on at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. What makes it so different, so people can know?
Yeah, okay, so it's got like a lot slower of a draw compared to like those, like, you know, the Austin Smokeworks smokers, or like just like a regular like offset smoker. It's got like a sausage box on the back, and that, like, so the heat kind of like comes in and then like kind of goes, there's like little holes in the middle. Okay. Like this, like solid wall. So it's like cooking chamber, sausage house, like a hanging smoking box, and then like the heat kind of comes in and kind of like floats up. But there's like the smokestacks are like literally like this tall, like on top of that. And then there's tuning plates that run along the bottom, so you get an incredible amount of bottom heat. But that also slows down convection and draw, because, you know, heat wants to like rise and do its thing, but there's these tuning plates kind of keeping it down. So it is a very, very weird.
But it's good for your brain, probably, too, to kind of figure.
And it was really cool. I actually learned, you know, you learn stuff from just doing something completely different. So I learned a lot cooking on that.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it was. I've never burnt the bottom of a brisket before. Like, I had cooked on a close pit. I didn't know, like, those tuning plates collect. It's like quarter inch, like, steel. So they collect so much heat, like, and then towards the end of the cook, they just start, like, dispersing, like, all this heat, like, from the bottom. And the brisket would cook really evenly because you're getting some bottom heat on your lean in, you know, like your fatty end would break down a little slower.
You have to massage. It's a process. Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. So then we got that, and then we got that 1,000 gallon, and then we just kind of both just figured out, you know, cooking on that, and that was really cool.
How big was Truth at the time? Like, you have pretty good lines there? Because I know La Barbecue, obviously, there were lines, and it was a big deal.
But, yeah, man. We were cooking a little bit less at Truth at the time. This is like right before the list had come out.
Okay.
But for being in Brenham and like being on the side of the highway, like in between Austin and Houston, I was like, man, guys, this is awesome. Like, you guys are killing it out here. Yeah, they were doing great. We were cooking a good amount of food, and they were still like pretty solid lines. And then when the list came out, all hell broke loose, and we started getting like really busy. We were loading up both of the smokers, cooking as much food as we could. Yeah, man, it was pretty wild.
What time were you guys selling out at the different locations? I know that Terry Black's, they have lunch and dinner service, so they're not shooting to sell out. They sell out, but it's not like their goal.
No, yeah. And those guys will go through like 124 briskets or something crazy like that, like on a Saturday from like 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
That's so fascinating. Like, that's so
right. It's crazy, and they cook really good food too, especially for how much they're cooking. You know. Like, when you get to that level of production, it's hard to keep an eye on quality, but they found a pretty good way to like make sure everything comes out pretty consistent, man. And between three cutters or three gatekeepers, like, you know.
Which is a difficult thing. I don't think people totally realize too. You want to, a lot of times you just want to have one or two people kind of touching the smokers, because, you know, it's, once you get too many hands, it's the consistency is off.
Yeah, man. Selfishly, I would rather have like one cutter, but I know people don't always want to wait in line, so like two cutters is probably like where I cut the line. I really like the setup that we had at Truth. Me and Leonard we had like a really long counter, so we would set up like two cutting blocks and just cut people's orders. Like, when the list came out, we were like, all right, cool, like we need to both cut because it's going to be pretty busy. So we had like, I would cut half the order and Leonard would cut half the order. We'd like I'm cutting brisket, ribs, and like sausage, or brisket, ribs, and turkey, and Leonard would cut like beef, ribs, turkey, sausage, vice versa. We just split the cutting duties in half, and that way, like, we both know what to look for. We're still keeping a good eye on quality, but getting people through quicker. You know,
did you guys bring on a bunch of new people once the list came out, or did you have to at least like some for not necessarily for the what you guys were doing, but in general, did you guys have to expand the staff? Or?
Not really. I mean, so I'm trying to think, we hired. No, we pretty much kept the same numbers like of people. We had it like pretty much under control. Like, we're still cooking a lot of food, but like it wasn't anything that I couldn't keep up with, because I mean, I'm still used to cooking, like running two or three smokers at La Barbecue and stuff. And so we still had like one or like, I guess we'll call it one and a half smokers, because that close is kind of small.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty manageable. I mean, we were already working like all day long, and, you know, we could keep up with with the lines and everything. So we didn't really have any. We had a couple of like people come and go, like in the back of house, like. Yeah. But yeah, we pretty much kept the same core staff. It was me, Leonard, a guy named Dadrian. He was doing sides and a lot of prep, and then Leonard's dad, and then Leonard's mom, and then. A guy named Willie who was doing dishes and also helping with sides.
And Leonard's brother wasn't there, right? Or was he there at the time?
No, he was already gone to culinary school at that time. I forgot. We did bring on Corey, though. He was a general manager.
Okay.
I guess I was kind of just prepping for Houston, getting ready for, like, the big operation over there.
Yeah.
So, it's just, you know, just kind of...
To learn the ropes and...
Yeah, exactly. Showing the ropes, getting them ready for that.
So were you always planning on just a specific stint at Truth? Like, is that something... Or did you, or have you been just kind of going along, and then it's like, okay, I'm gonna transition to the next thing? Or
it was actually really wild. I wasn't planning to stay there as long as I did. Okay. I was actually planning to move to Charleston to go work at Lewis Barbecue for a little bit, but then I was like thinking about it. And I was like, oh man, it's really expensive to move out there. Like, I don't know. I just was like making sure it was gonna be like worth the trip out there, and I just decided to not go. And like me and Leonard were hitting our stride pretty hard at Truth.
Yeah.
So you know, I decided to stay there. And like they're opening up the Houston location, and I was planning on going there, but that kept getting pushed back because whenever Harvey hit, like a long list of like permits, you know,
for sure,
a long line of permits, like people waiting in line for permits to rebuild and stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, their buildings, and yeah, so we didn't end up. It's still just kind of getting pushed back. Just kind of something that was out of our control.
Yeah.
So I was kind of waiting for that. I was also like, you know, living in Austin. I would still live in Austin and commute to Brenham. And we would sleep at the restaurant. You know, we had a pretty crazy work schedule. We'd go to bed at like midnight and then wake up at 3 and put the ribs on, just keep working throughout the rest of the day. Huh. So we did have 3 days off, which is nice, but it was like, it was definitely a marathon for those 4 days. So I was getting a little worn out, you know, doing that. And, you know, just.
Yeah, it's tough work. It is tough work. People don't realize.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had that pit, and I was like, you know, I could probably start like working somewhere kind of part time and just getting a catering business going in the meantime.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know, I think it's time for me to start spreading my wings and get my own thing going. So
I'm sure Leonard wasn't like stoked that you were leaving, but he understood it from that.
Yeah, he wasn't like super pumped about it from what I could like read on his facial expressions and stuff, but He wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, I couldn't imagine him holding you back from the other. Yeah.
Oh man, and even his parents and him were all like, thank you so much, like for everything, and you know, like good luck in the future, and like stay in touch. Like we're all family here. You know, I did feel like a part of their family, like working there. You know, because we spent so much time together. Like there's no hard feelings, man. Like,
but your history now in the barbecue world, like you've traversed like these different restaurants that are on people's like wish list to go to, and then you spent what 4 or 5 days over in at Bodacious.
I think I spent about 4 days there working with them. That was really fun.
And how did that work out? How did that come about?
Me and Jordan had just like talked to each other at festivals and just, you know, just kind of have a lot of other things that fall into place, just like talking to each other and just talking about cooking. And he's like, yeah man, if you ever want to come hang out, like come hang out.
He's one of the coolest guys here.
Yeah, people are cool like that, man. They're like, especially in the barbecue world, they're like, "Yeah, dude, come hang out and cook. Like, we'll have you. Let's, you know, see what happens." So it was really cool. I wanted to like cook there for a while too, because I'd gone to eat there like, you know, 6 months or so ago, and it was just so different. It's definitely like East Texas like centric barbecue. So
it was just
you can tell like Bodacious was very unique. In this, like, with their own style, hadn't tasted anything like that before. So I just, you know, kind of wanted to see how they were cooking. I really wanted to cook on those pits, you know.
That pit room is awesome.
Oh man, it's crazy, it's so cool. That's what I loved about it. It was so cool. It's a really cool schedule. And yeah, we would go there, and the cooking on those smokers, which is something that I thought cooking on a close was different, but that was, you know, even cooler to see. And those guys over at Bodacious, Jordan and company, they have like those pits figured out like the back of their hands, man. They know exactly like where the heat flows, like what the hot spot and the cold spot is. Like, I mean, we do too, like on our offset smokers, but like those are, I don't know, it's just a crazier operation.
Yeah.
You know, those Bewley pits, like with those box pits. And they're not like commercial Bewleys. Roland designed a lot of them and had like the Bewley guy like fabricate them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Actually cool.
Back
Roland,
day, yeah.
Cool getting to hang out and talk to Roland, man. That guy is like, he's a barbecue legend too, man. You know, like he started that whole Bodacious, you know, franchise, but like started off like with that one in Longview. It used to be called, I think it was like Little Roland's
Bodacious. It was like a really long name. I remember Jordan.
Yeah, Jones. And it was really cool getting to hear all of his stories and talking and like, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Smokers and I got to like show him my little picture, my red plate. I was like, check that out. Like, this is what I built. So he's pretty proud of me. No, I'm just kidding.
So did you make sausage with them too? Because I know they make a bunch of different sausages.
And... Yeah. So I made the boudin with them.
Oh, the boudin. Okay.
That was cool. Yeah. I was watching them make the other one, like the house link, but I got to make the boudin. It was a lot more simple of a process than I thought, but it was still like a good amount that goes into it. You know, mm-hmm. like cooking the meat, you know, chopping it all up and then mixing it together. Yeah, it was cool, man.
So did you stay out there when you, is that how you did? Because it's not close to, it's not like super close to Austin.
No, it was like 4.5 hours from Austin. So I stayed at Brian Bingham. Yeah. He put his house, man. It was super, they're so nice, man. The most like hospitable people ever. Like, you know, like he gave me a room, like his wife and him like cooked us dinner like every night. And, you know, we went out and hung out and got beers and stuff, man. It was cool. They took care of me well out there, man. It was awesome. So yeah, I stayed out there with them and
they're both chefs too, which is incredible.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, you know, dinner was pretty tasty every night.
So then with 2M, are you kind of doing the same thing and go down there just for a little bit, or are you gonna be working at 2M for?
I'm probably planning there to stay there for like probably about a year.
Okay.
Maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter. I think in probably like a solid year there, because I'll be working like 2 or 3 days a week there.
Okay.
So I'll just be working. I'll probably sleep in San Antonio for like those 2 days. Mm. I could stay at his house, or I'll either sleep on that cot in the restaurant.
Yeah, there's a cot, right?
Yeah, but it's only for 1 day a week, not the whole week.
Okay.
So I'll work there and then just slowly start getting the catering going.
Wow, that's really great. Is there, so in your mind, when you open up your own place, do you think of it being like straight Central Texas style barbecue, or do you think maybe you might have some additional, or do you want to go straight?
So I really enjoy the Central Texas, like the German Czech style barbecue. Mm. Just making it like the best possible version that, you know, anybody's had, or the best possible version that I can make. I do admire, you know, like Evan and Brotherton for like making, like, I think there's room in barbecue to like expand and do like different takes on it, and I think that's really cool and sometimes just equally as good, you know. But me personally, I really love like Central Texas barbecue and like cooking it and like those preparations,
the simplicity yet the complexity of the whole of that.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like I love going to like Louis Miller's or like City Market and just getting like a classic like Texas beef link, you know, or like even like Fried and Smitty's. Like I want to make like takes on that. Just like really simple,
nice,
good, clean flavor, but like having it just like just turned all the way up to 11. You know what I mean? that'd be my goal.
Why don't you just make 10 louder?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It has to be at 11.
That's awesome. What do you think for someone that wants to get into the barbecue world, that's 18, 19, 20, do you recommend kind of doing what you do, like what you did, kind of just keep at it, like keep bugging or keep sending your resume in and keep like going to the places that you really love to try to get a job? Is that, would you recommend that? Or
I mean, I don't know, like obviously when you're 18 or 19, like you can take on a lot more than you could like when you're older, you know. Like I'm only 23, but I'm already kind of like, oh man, I'm not as like, I don't have the same stamina. Yeah. I don't have the same stamina I did when I was 18 or 19, you know? Yeah, I would definitely like start whenever the younger you start, the better, just because you have more time to learn. You have more time to make mistakes and just figure out like what you want to do, you know? And when you're 18 or 19, like you don't really care about as much about like what goes down. So like, you know, I was willing to like, you know, just eat a lot more crap than I would now. You know what I mean? Like I was willing to like take more than I would be now. So like you're more like elastic. You're more like juvenile. I think it's the best way to start is like whenever you're younger and just take it all in and just go for it. You know, just literally just dive in and see if you really like it, man. Like that's the best way to like just take it apart and see if you like it.
And if you like the hours and you like because you're and the close quarters and the people that you're with a lot, you have to be able, the restaurant business in general is an interesting field. And then having to barbecue is a whole other thing.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. Yeah, man, it's like two separate like worlds almost. it's like, yeah, I would highly recommend just starting off as young as possible.
So it's doable, and obviously you did it, but it's also too like there's so many restaurants. If you live in Texas, I think if you really want to open a place even outside of Texas, go to Texas, live there for a few years, and really learn it. Like, because all the restaurants they need people eventually. They There's people leaving and coming and going.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important too to like really like understand what barbecue is about. Like go to those old school spots, talk to people, hear the stories, see how it got started. Because I feel like when you truly understand like the history and the cuisine, like you can I don't know, it almost comes out more authentic, you know?
Yeah.
There's like a certain level of finesse that kind of comes with like learning all that and just like truly understanding, like being a barbecue guy, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I think that goes to show, like, with any other kind of food that you want to cook, you know, like, really understanding the cuisine and, like, what it's about, because, like, that's where authenticity comes from.
Yeah, and if you're truly passionate about it, if you just want a job, then that's completely different, which...
Yeah, exactly, but you can almost tell the difference, you know, like, by, like, food or just, like, seeing what's going on, like, mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would definitely try to come to Texas. I mean, that being said, there are a lot of spots, like, outside of Texas now that are cooking, like, great barbecue, you know?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Jason's in Canada to name like one of them. Like there's a lot of great spots out there.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, you can go to New York. I go to hometown.
Yeah, Billy Durney is killing it out there. Now he's going to Miami too.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, man. So yeah, you don't have to move to Texas, but I would recommend it.
It wouldn't hurt to have that sort of base and understanding.
Yeah, man. Exactly.
If that's a style you want to do. If you want to do Kansas City style, you got to move to Kansas City first.
Kansas City. If you want to learn how to cook whole hog, move to North and South Carolina or even Tennessee, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's so many spots that if you learn that, imagine that base that if you had. Have you had a chance to cruise around?
Oh, yeah, man. So every year, me and my buddies take like a road trip to like Portland or like New York, just somewhere like across the United States.
Okay.
And we take a road trip so we can see like all the states to and from, you know, we'll take like 2 weeks off and just go and like drive and, you know, stop in like New Orleans or wherever. But, like we've gone to New York 2 years in a row, just because it's such a big city, we want to be able to do everything. And on the way to and from, we've had a chance to go, you know, we all like barbecue. So we're like, all right, cool. We're going to Kansas City. We're going to St. Louis. We're going to Memphis. We're going to Tennessee, like North and South Carolina.
Oh, that's so great.
We've pretty much hit up like all the regions. You know what I mean? It's been really cool seeing all those like just completely different styles of barbecue, you know, especially like only knowing Central Texas barbecue and what that's about. Like, it's really cool going to like St. Louis and trying like St. Louis ribs, or going to like Memphis and getting some like, you know, dry rub ribs, or Kansas City and getting some nice like super sauced up
beef. It's
it's crazy, man. It was cool. And you know, I still think Central Texas barbecue is my favorite style of barbecue, but I think it was really cool to experience like all those different flavor.
Yeah, it's and that's what makes barbecue so fascinating and wonderful that we have that in the United States. It's such like, it's so true and it's authentic to its area too, which is so killer.
Yeah, man. And it's dictated by like the region, what resources you have, you know. I think that's really cool. Like, one of the coolest things about barbecue is that you're kind of living off the land.
Yeah, definitely. And, without a doubt. And that's so, yeah. So I want to know if say you had a friend that wanted to come to Austin for a day, like say they said a day, they're coming in for work during the week or they're coming in for the weekend. What would you recommend? Would you recommend them going out to Louis Miller, like to try to do that on a weekend, or would you go to Lockhart, or would you?
If you had one day.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say I wouldn't wait in line at Franklin, just because if you have one day to pack everything in, I've done it before. There's a way to like hit up as many spots as you can.
Okay.
I would go to Lockhart. I would go to Louis. I would start off the day. I would go to Micklewick Craft Meats to start the day off. That's like, oh man, that's like one of my favorite restaurants.
So good.
One of my favorite barbecue restaurants in Austin, man. I would go there, start off the day there. I'd probably go from there to Lockhart and like hit up, Kreitz and like Schmitty's, maybe Black's if you want to go out there. And then I would go from there. You can go like 15 to 20 minutes up the highway, and then you go to Luling and you go to City Market, get some sausage, get some ribs. And then from there, I would probably go to like Taylor. That's like not too far away, but it's, you know, it's a drive, but it's not that bad. And I would go to Louis and then get some barbecue. And if you're still hungry after that, maybe go back to town and get like Terry Blash or something for dinner. Inside, you can go to like Liberty or Shangri-La and go get some beers or something and hang out.
Exactly. And there's all those wonderful places for dinner too, after that, or for drinks after dinner.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Maybe Rainy Street or go to.
Yeah. Rainy Street gets kind of crazy. Rainy Street's not so much my scene, but I'm like, I don't know. I like, there's some cool bars on Rainy Street, man. There's a place called, I think it's called Half Step. They have awesome cocktails.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they have this, like, little, like, they make their own ice, and you can go out back and like watch the guy like cutting up ice with like this big chainsaw.
Oh, that's cool, man. It's pretty fun. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, but, go to like Rainy Street. Go to the East Side. There's a lot of bars.
Well, Rainy Street's unique because it's just different than what people see across the United States. It's unique, but it also does get a little nuts.
Yeah, man. Oh, especially I mean, it gets pretty crazy, man. And it's cool. There's like it's like a lot of like houses. You know what I mean? Like a lot. I think that's one thing that's like Austin's pretty cool. Like for is like a lot of the businesses like are like old houses, and I think that's like part of like what like Austin is not known for, but it's like something that you just kind of observe when you're here. It's like a lot of these places like really old houses, you know?
Yeah, which they don't. So, that's not the case it is in many places across the United States, which makes it feel so homey. Even like it's silly to say a house gonna make you feel homey, but it's there's something about it. It's great.
Yeah, Rainy Street's almost like a big block party on the weekends if you think about it, like. It's like a bunch of like bars that used to be houses, and like everybody's like neighbors, and everybody's like walking up and down the street. Like, it's
But I could see it get out of control. Does it get crazy with college kids too? Is that kind of the?
Yeah, so I think Rainy Street seems like more like the adult like college kids. You know what I mean? It's like an older crowd.
Okay.
But they still love to like party and hang out and drink. I think Dirty Sixth Street is like where all the college kids and like the frat dudes and like those sorority girls go, and they just get. Wild. I've never really been to Sixth Street. I just like heard about it, and I was like, I'm not really gonna.
No, it's yeah. And there's a lot of those streets across like campuses across the United States that are like a mess.
Yeah, no, it just gets like sloppy out there. It's crazy, man. Like they have to like block off the streets, like to like you have to like find a way around it on like a Saturday or a Friday. Okay. But yeah, you can go to it's kind of like the Bourbon Street.
True. Yeah.
The less historical. Bourbon Street, yeah.
Or like a Vegas kind of, like, without the casinos, but like, people just like sloppy, like walking in the street.
Just have like cops just standing in the middle of the street, just like, taking pictures of people, like, really care to say, like, you're really drunk. I guess because you're just kind of like blocked in. Like, you're like blocked into like this tiny little box.
That's true, yeah. Which is just sounds awful.
To me. I'm just gonna sit there and babysit everybody, and they're just kind of like walking around, like, oh, yeah, okay.
So what's a place that you might know because you love barbecue? Is there a place that's off people's radar that people might not know about? Someone that's doing it. You said Brotherton, they do a lot of sandwiches, right?
Yeah, they do a lot of sandwiches. They also have really good barbecue, but I think like their sandwiches is like what they're like most known for, you know, like the Bami or the Reuben. I'd say yeah, the barbecue used to be more off people's radar. Same for Mickway. I think those places are both. Like pretty like popular and pretty much on people's radars now. So I would say go to Curlin Barbecue.
Okay.
Right off Cesar Chavez. Yeah. It's right by this place called what's it called? Veracruz All Natural.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like this little like so like the barbecue truck is like this like white trailer. They got a little smoker and then it's like a husband and wife that run it. And the wife she also makes like really, really good kolaches.
Oh, really?
They put their jalapeno cheese sausage in there. You can get a brisket cheese kolache. So yeah, I don't know the schedule for that, but it might be on the weekends. I'm not sure.
Okay.
They do a great job, man. I always have a great meal there, and I wish they were like more on people's radar.
Yeah.
I feel like they were deserving of like a top 50 spot for sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, if you were in town, I would definitely check them out as well.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. What is there anything else that people might know about you? What's your band's name?
We're called the Trophy Pets.
The which one?
Trophy Pets.
The Trophy Pets. Yeah, sorry. It was.
Oh yeah, man. It was fun. This is a heavy rock and roll band.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Are you gonna like? So when's the band?
We sent all of our guitars in to go get like fixed up and like set up last week. So we get those back and start jamming again. Now that I'm back in Austin, we can start having fun and playing music again.
Well, nice. Well, what I'll do is I'll email you and get links to everything that you're doing so people can get a hold of you. So that way, just to make sure, I know most of the ways to get a hold of you, but
yeah, man, thank you so much. Yeah, awesome. The website's almost done. I just gotta like take pictures and you know.
Dylan Taylor Barbecue. Is that?
It'll be called Taylor Barbecue. Yeah, I don't know if that's what I want to name the restaurant, just because I don't know if I want it to be like my last name.
Yeah,
it's something I could probably come up with something a little catchier of a name. But I mean, for a catering company, it'll work. You know what I mean? Yeah,
for sure.
So yeah, man, so I'll get that going probably within like the next week or two.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much. Awesome. Kevin.
Well, have a great week. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm glad we got this figured out.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm glad we got the camera working.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to hang out and grab a beer and you know go get some barbecue.
Sounds good. Excellent.
Cheers, Kevin.
Cheers.